He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin.
This is Car Keys.
Hello to this week's show of Car Keys with Jada Markin and Robin Leach. We are well into the summer, and the driving is getting worse around our corner, in my opinion, visually, that is. The signaling is, the turn signal usage is diminishing. I do not know why people don't want to be courteous and let other drivers know what they are planning to do when they are planning to drive off the main road, byway road that they may be on at the time I'm coming along in the opposite direction or even in the same direction. But it, Jay, I don't know whether you're noticing this on your travels, driving travels that are far greater than mine, but it's just, and they don't signal and they're changing lanes in the multi-lane byways and highways like 684. And it's particularly dangerous because you do not know what they're coming when you're in the middle lane or the left lane and cars are coming at you in the right lane, right lanes to what you're in are fast. And they do not give any indication of what their plans are as far as lane usage is going to be. Jay?
It's an ongoing problem, and I don't think venting about it is going to change much of anything.
I don't think so either, listeners.
On a little side note, and more as a joke, don't take this seriously. I always say, to young drivers or novice drivers, you should always use your signals. And like you said, sometimes it's a legal issue, and oftentimes, even if it's not a legal issue, it's a civility thing. The only time you should not use your signal is in when you're navigating through New York City, because anytime you use your signal in New York City, somebody's going to make sure you cannot execute the maneuver you're trying to execute.
Well, that is probably a very good piece of advice.
So it is. OK, I was being facetious, but let's leave it at that. Yeah,
an example that our listeners can relate to if they're listening and they do the driving we do.
Let me ask you a question. I have a trick signal question for you. Okay. We have, this is the scenario, like there is one at a turning circle, a roundabout.
Rotary.
A rotary, thank you. So let's take the rotary in Goshen, for example. And let's say you want to turn... you want to make a left turn relative to where you're going, right? You're not going straight through the rotary.
Correct.
But you're going, you're going to go towards your left. Like if you're coming from Canaan.
I know. And you're going to Torrington. Coming out of the rotary. You don't need to.
Here's my trick question. Which way do you think, what signal do you put on?
Well, I know what your answer is, but I do. Once I'm in the, just about to go into the circle, I am putting on my left turn signal. And that is to help the cars behind me figure out what I'm doing. And if I'm not going to go straight through, they need to know that. Also, for the cars coming at you from the turning, from the straight on in circle, they need to know that I'm going to cut in front of them if I'm going around the circle before they get to it.
So my point is, you put your signal to signal your intention of getting out of the rotary before you get to that branch, so that the people who are, first of all, going to come from that direction can assume that they can get into the rotary, and also the people in back of you know you're getting out of the rotary.
Well, you didn't define very well when you mean to turn the signal on, activate it actually. Are you in the rotary when?
And I'm in the rotary.
You can listen to this debate and figure out what you want to do, because this is a really sort of a needless debate, I think. But go ahead.
It's the issue of if I'm getting out of the rotary, I'm signaling my intention of leaving the rotary. So, and if you apply that logic,
you're using the right signal to tell you're getting out.
Correct.
I don't think anybody's looking at you closely enough at that point to know that your signal light might have gone on right when you're going to go, instead of going around and around the rotary, which is what you're implying. I just think that the people behind you and the people coming at you from the direction you're coming into the rotary at need to know whether you're going to go in front of them trying to get to that left turn or not. And the people behind you don't need to know that as often, but anybody coming at you should know that you're going to be going in front of them if they're approaching the rotary and want to get into it. And forget about turning the signal from a left turn signal to a right turn signal immediately once you're in the rotary and you want to get out, because I don't think the people care behind you that you're going to get out in front of them and you're not interrupting any traffic coming at you.
But does anybody really care what you think? It's about doing the right thing.
Well, they don't, because they don't use their signals. But I have a better scenario, which is our intersection of Wells Hill Road 40 and 41.
The classic.
And what people are not doing early enough coming up the hill, which happened to me yesterday. I was stopped at the signal. There was a car coming up the hill. It had no turn signal on, so I started to leave the turn, and just before there was plenty of room for them to finally turn their signal on, but they did it about, I would say, less than 100 feet before they wanted to go left at the turn, which would have been cutting in front of me had I waited for them to signal.
And yet they had the right of way.
No, they did not have the right of way. They didn't turn the signal on.
Well,
I had
the
right of way because I started
sign,
going forward. You can't presume they're going to go right or left.
Correct. So if they're not putting a signal, you have to assume the worst.
Okay.
So
and wait.
And wait. I know
right.
it's frustrating, but that's
yeah.
It's back to your point of the
well,
use of signal is a
yeah.
courtesy.
This is
and
where the courtesy
thing.
Of remembering that you have turn signals to use should be implemented by more drivers than are implementing them as we discuss this on our great version of Car Keys today.
What would the signals that stay on for like 10 miles after they've made the turn?
Well, Jeep has a nice solution for that, because
oh my
if
God,
that
here we go.
Happens and they have a gong that goes off at about a mile from where you left, you turned it on. I don't know whether it's a time thing or a distance thing. So, and I find that I am one of the people who are not, so my signal does not go off on a light right turn, right or left, if you haven't turned the steering wheel enough to cancel the signal out. And so I find myself almost at Hotchkiss School, and all of a sudden my gong goes off and I see my right signal is still on, which I made at the top of the hill in front of the Catholic Church. But many cars don't have that signal. So yes, you're right. We can drive for miles with a turn signal on. And I see that going on too on interstate traffic. When somebody left to turn the signal on to go into a left lane, they don't turn it off.
And all right, let's move on, because we're going to
let's move on. Okay.
We can vent our frustrations
go ahead.
Use till the end of time.
Go to your list.
My list. What is the new car of the week or last week? Do you think? What is the car that made a lot of headlines and is kind of controversial? And I don't think you'll be buying one. I know I will not be buying one. Have you read it all about the Ferrari Luce?
Yeah. Well, you answered the question very clearly.
Who goes first, you or me? Go ahead.
I'm not going to have to go. I have to. There's nothing I want to do with Luce. And so go ahead.
Well, first of all, we all saw the pictures, right? And it if you had shown that and said this is a prototype and or you know, some designer's fantasy, people would have said, "Oh yeah, sure, but that's never happening."
Right, that's like the Jaguar XJ, right? That failed to come to reality. That was
well. We'll
around.
Get back to that new Jaguar too, but the case of the Luce is it's interesting, and I don't get it. It's a sedan, which is the first sedan Ferrari ever does. It looks like a Tonka toy, but it comes. It is designed by a studio with two very reputable designers whose name I forget, but who have you know, I know a history of you know, are well regarded as far as designers are concerned. I don't get it. The fact is that it's a 500,000 euro car, so around $650,000. And it is over 1,000 horsepower, and it's going to be insanely fast, and it's coming out in 2027.
And insanely expensive as well.
Insanely expensive, but all, you know, in expensive and fast is, you know, okay, there's a market for that. But it
Well,
is all also weird looking at best. Some people think it's just plain ugly, and a lot of people just don't get it. It's getting very, very mixed reviews. It'll be interesting to see. That's all I can say. But
as maybe it should have followed the way that the that conceptual design of the Jaguar XJ that came out about 3 years ago, never to be seen again by me in any periodical after it showed up at one of the car magazines, and they fired the designer finally. You know, some of these designers, I do not know where some of these manufacturers or how these manufacturers choose designers to design, you know, oncoming models in the future after they've had perfectly good models out there. When these designs come in that are like the one you're describing and the one I just described in the Jaguar, those are extreme design
well,
ideas, so
so
to say.
when you look at design, I mean, a lot of times, you know, these manufacturers tend to be conservative, right? So when you go from one model to the next, or generation of a particular model to the next, you want to try to
You
they
want
usually try to keep several things in mind, keeping in the continuity of the brand's design,
right.
and making it an evolution of the outgoing model.
Correct.
But not going crazy stupid or in radically different direction than the previous model, especially when that model was a success. Now, I can think of a few exceptions to that rule. And if you look at Hyundai, for instance, with their Santa Fe, the
Yes.
previous generation Santa Fe kind of looks like a, you know, from some angle, like a BMW SUV
Right.
or an Audi SUV. And the reason being is that the designer of that model came from Audi and BMW, if I recall correctly. The new one, the current version of the Santa Fe,
It was
which
a
has been
box.
out for a year or two now, is a total box, right? It looks like an Amazon delivery package
Yep.
with wheels on it. And
Correct.
that is a bold move on that manufacturer's part, right?
And I
But
would
it,
say controversial too, but certainly not like the two we've discussed prior to this particular model. But yes, you're right.
correct.
It's bold, and it's from a practical functionality standpoint, I applaud it. My wife would not touch it if it was there to be considered as a new vehicle purchase for our
So
family.
you're never getting one.
So we're never getting one. I will take it. I will like to go, you know, the listeners on this show that have been listening regularly know that I've been discussing the new Jeep Cherokee, which
Yeah, they don't
I
want
am
to hear it
not,
anymore.
I consider the design functionally useful. I'm looking now at my current design vehicles, which are the previous design to the 26, and I gotta say, as they come down the road in very large numbers, they are very visible, they are very recognizable, and the new Cherokee has been softened up to a point that it's not bad for a certain kind of person that wants 5 longer inches and therefore you know and a more square
So you
functional
want
body.
bland.
But I don't like it anywhere near as
Oh.
much. I think the outgoing Cherokees were designed beautifully. I actually had sent a letter of congratulations saying that the Cherokee was perfect, in my opinion, to a magazine because back in the early days of the 2014 era when it came online, and they still look fabulous today. And I see
They look
lots of them
okay.
running around, and the dealer in our local dealer in Tarrington is not having a very successful time. They have an inventory of five. They have sold one out of the five, and they are having a tough time moving the new design. And I don't know whether
So,
it's knowledgeable owners that agree with me on this situation, or whether they just it just hasn't taken hold because there's not been a lot of publicity about it in Jeep
well, there's
advertising.
also a lot of good good alternatives on the market. But let's go
That is
down the
correct.
list of cars that we can look forward to
Okay.
and discuss maybe their design or and so Car and Driver came up with a list of future cars waiting for and I
Worth waiting for, you mean?
yes
Okay.
and you know I go down the list and some are relevant, some you know are just are not going to matter much, but order and disorder, they have the 2027 Alfa Stelvio, which was slated to be a electric vehicle and now is going to be a hybrid, so gas and electric
Smart, very
or
smart.
electric only vehicle. And it speaking of design, it looks like the outgoing Stelvio, which has been out since 2017 or 18, it's just a little sharper lines, a little squarer, if you will, but definitely an alpha styling to it. You know, it's not going to matter all that much because Alfa sells so few Stelvios that it won't really matter.
Yeah,
The
right.
Audi TT full electric to me is more of a concept car than anything else. What I do think is going to be interesting is the 2027 BMW 3 Series and particularly the M3 in electric form. And that car looks like a so the stand BMW and all and many other European manufacturers have taken is to design their electric cars to look very similar to their
Regular cars.
correct ICE cars. And the BMW 3 Series as well as the Mercedes C-Class are getting very, very good reviews with the early prototypes. And I think they're going to be cars looking forward, we should be looking forward to. A vehicle where I shook my head that is coming out in 2027 is the new Chevy Silverado pickup truck, which it looks like another pickup truck to me. But interestingly, that will probably also mean that we will see a new generation of SUVs from GM, you know, the Suburbans, Tahoes, and Escalades, and the bunch. And then there are cars that mean absolutely nothing. You know, you can look forward to them, but a Dodge Charger Hellcat with a V8 or a Mustang Dark Horse, these are all powerful sports cars with V8 engines. And, you know, they are kind of a very, very, very small market and probably a thing of the past, but that's just.
A wish for a comment for you on the following topic, Jay. Is it really worthwhile for these manufacturers to try to produce these ultra high performance versions of standard sort of vehicle lines because of the high performance factor of it? Do we have to tout and with a lot of hoopla about cars can go from 0 to 60 in under 4 seconds, for example, or even under 5 seconds. Are people really going to do this if they buy one of these vehicles because they read about it in Motor Trend, Car and Driver, you know, whatever?
Sadly, they probably will and will ride your bumper, but
But not
do we
very
need,
many will, but
but
enough to
do,
make them think
well,
that this is the way they need to promote these vehicles.
there is definitely a safety issue at stake here. When the last generations of the, you know, the high performance Dodge Chargers and Challengers came out with their whatever the Hellcats and 700 and 800 horsepower engines, there were fatal crashes of these cars leaving the dealership and not making it through the next three blocks from the dealership.
Yeah,
Same
okay.
thing when the Tesla S Plaid came out or the Ludicrous, the first versions of the high performance Tesla Model S. And I think the level of performance is such that and you and is so easily
Abused.
attainable
Well,
that
it's
you
abused.
find yourself very easily going at ungodly speeds, and it's just plain dangerous. And I don't know what the solution to that is. Because these cars are coming out and the level of performance is such that, some people are just going to use them. I mean, when I drive a high performance cars, sure, I kind of test them. And do I enjoy it? Yes, of course I do. Do I think it's reasonable to use them at their even 50% or 80% of their capabilities? No, it's totally crazy. And there's no reason to be doing that on public roads.
Well, given your
But this is a moral dilemma
example
I fight every day.
given your examples of what's going on worldwide with speed control devices to limit your ability to drive in a sporting manner, which means AKA exceeding speed limits, over 10 kilometers an hour or 20 kilometers an hour or miles an hour in any road or in any country or in any state. Yet they keep producing these vehicles that can do these ludicrous movements. Now, I reported on a recent show about this woman who loves her Rivian because of the passing capability, accelerative features of it when she's behind huge dump trucks that are spraying salty stuff on her windshield as she's following maybe too closely, but still close enough so she gets that stuff. And she's got to get around them on our two-lane roads, which have relatively short passing places. She can do it in a Rivian, and she considers that a distinct safety factor. And you
It
would agree.
is.
And you would agree.
Absolutely.
And for that,
Absolutely.
that's the appropriate use of the capability that is built into some of our cars. But I
Yep.
can do that with my Hyundai 2013 Hyundai Sonata Hybrid.
Not quite the same.
Yeah, not enough to
Not
be able to
nearly the
do that
same.
kind of. I did it this morning against somebody trying to keep up with me on a right lane and a two lane that was merging into one, and he lost out. And yes, I couldn't go from 0 to 60 in 3 seconds in the Sonata, but I can go from 0 to 60 when the battery is fairly well charged in enough at enough clip of a clip to know that
No, I
it's that
agree.
feature that I like a lot about this car. Okay. Regardless of what its technical specifications allow. So it's
Well,
all relative.
it is all relative. And the problem is, if everybody drives these high performance cars, the risk is you end up being at a traffic light and you try to outgun the car next to you, and now you have a dead heat at insane speed. So I don't know what the solution is. I think it's driving
There is no
responsibly.
solution. We're going to continue to see these vehicles being produced. It's just a commentary
Oh,
for
and
our
I'm going to enjoy driving them.
And you are going to enjoy driving
So
them.
here's my I almost, I'm toying with the idea of pulling the trigger on that, and I know what you're going to say. Here goes Jay again, with the Rivian R2. I think it's a fantastic car. I've read a little bit more about it. The big difference between the R1 and the R2, other than the size and the price, is the construction of the car. The R2 is a unibody like most cars and SUVs, whereas the R1 is a body on frame truck design. So the R2 actually, from what I've read so far, rides better than not R1, has amazing performance, looks great in my opinion, and is in that, realistically, between $48,000 and $60,000 window, price window, and that pretty much puts it square and fair with a lot of cars and SUVs that are like right around the median price of a car these days. So as much as I am tempted, I kind of like original cars and be a little different. Like I like driving my Volkswagen Touareg because there are not very many around. Other than it's a great car. And I think the Rivian R2 could be the next Tesla Y. And I just cannot get warm. I cannot warm up to the idea of driving the same car as everybody else.
I concur on that. Fortunately, or unfortunately, we're probably in the minority of that kind of opinion about what we want to drive. But I do like, obviously, I do like my 2001 Audi A8. I think it's fabulous looking. It's basically a lot smaller, which to me is an advantage than the current level of A8s that are being produced. And it's noticeable because I'm probably one. Maybe if not the only one that has one still running around the northwest corner. And
actually, I
will.
Saw one last week. I saw
yeah,
one.
But they're good looking. You can spot them and you can see them. And then also the Jaguar I have in 2004. Well, we've talked about the current level of Jaguars, so that we don't need to say anything more. But that's
actually
unique.
I do have something more to say, but go ahead about your Jaguar, which
but,
I like.
But anyways, I like my Volkswagen Eurovan the way you like your Touareg. I wish they still made them. I think the Buzz is not the suitable alternative to that vehicle, and I like the high seating position, which the American minivans or whatever you want to call them don't have. They have you riding at sedan levels in your seat, as opposed to sitting high up in a command position that the Eurovan always gives you. So there are these unique things of our older cars that still look great and still have useful, desirably useful features about them, so that we like to drive them. And we are not seen very often. We're not seeing duplicates of our cars coming at us right and left, like you see of the Jeeps and even the new BMWs and that kind of thing.
So, Robin, I think you need to streamline your fleet of cars.
Well, a lot
few
of people
good
think
ones,
that.
And you need to, start working on weekends and clear up your garage and organize your nice cars. And
well, our listeners don't need to hear this.
Well, no, you do.
Well, you can do it on the broadcast then. You're doing it.
So I wanted to talk in the list of cars we might be looking forward to seeing one day, the Jaguar Type 01, why Type 01 when they've done so many types before? But I guess you had, Type D, Type E Jaguars back in the day, and I guess now they're starting with type with a
I
number
haven't
instead
seen
of a
these
letter.
Types you're talking about, so I
so
have no idea what they
Jaguar
might look
Type 01 is electric sedan, which would bring Jaguar back into making sedans, which they should never have stopped doing in the first place, in my opinion. And it's a kind of edgy design. It's purely electric. And I am only very moderately optimistic, not to say very skeptical, of it making it to market and being a success. But, only time will tell.
Well, let's get to technology. I'm staring at a picture on my desktop of driven is the 2027 Audi RS5, the most on Audi yet. And I read the whole story on it. And for the life of me, I cannot get into the technology ever being functionally used by any buyer of this vehicle as it was used in the test drives in Austria or wherever they had it by the Motor Trend drivers and engineers that rode along with them. But it's a nice looking car, I will say. It's a modified.
It looks like an Audi.
It looks like an Audi. I think Audi has stuck fairly well in keeping their cars looking up to date, but not wildly out of the way their designs have been going over the last 10 years, which I think is an advantage. Maybe better than the Hyundai Santa Fe change, which was sort of radical from the older designs or anything else we've been talking about as designs have been changing.
Well, the Hyundai group is still working on putting out new Genesis models. So Genesis is their luxury brand. And many people were very skeptical 10 years ago when they started out with their Genesis brand. But the new GV90 is a full-size SUV that actually looks pretty darn good. And it's a fully electric vehicle. And I have to guess it's based on the Kia EV9 and whatever the
That was
Hyundai
at the auto
version.
Show, was it not, this year?
I'm not sure. I can't remember. I don't really think so. But then there are a few cars that, back to my list of cars we may be looking forward to seeing. The 2028 Infiniti Q50 looks like a 15-year-old sedan. It looks like a Nissan Altima, in my opinion, and I think that's a dead-on arrival. What I think is a cool and interesting-looking vehicle is the 2028 Mitsubishi Montero. And I don't know if you remember Monteros
Oh,
back
I
then.
remember the old Monteros well.
Exactly. They were cool vehicles. They were my pref I was renting a lot of vehicles when I was traveling.
Does Mitsubishi have a future in America? You talk about Nissan, you're
No,
down on Nissan,
that's a
but I'm
sad,
wondering whether
that's a,
Mitsubishi can make it.
no,
I
I
think
don't
they
think
put
so.
out good cars. I like the Mitsubishi look, quite frankly.
They were my rental car favorites, both the Galant as a sedan and the Montero as an SUV. Always my first choice at all these rental agencies.
We've covered a lot of ground in a lot of areas, and until next week, we are Car Keys with Jay DeMarkin and Robin Leach.
Car Keys with Robin Leach and Jay DeMarkin is produced at the facilities of WHDD 91.9 FM, RobinHoodRadio.com, Sharon, Connecticut.